It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, midweek, mid to late October. Nothing to complain about over the next couple of days. Going to be beautiful. Temperatures up in the high teens, sunshine. All in all, good stuff, that's for sure. Great to have you here, Evan Bray, on this Wednesday edition of the show. So we know the throne speech is happening this afternoon. And from that speech, there will be a lot of information to digest, to talk about. In fact, I mentioned this earlier, we will have Premier Scott Moe first thing tomorrow morning at 8:30 to kick off the show. Then we will have official leader of the opposition, NDP leader Carla Beck, on at 9. And then we will open up some phone lines for you to weigh in. What do you hope to see in the throne speech? Do you have a wish list for the throne speech? I have talked pretty much since I started this job. In fact, I was talking about it when I was still in my old job, about the need for our province to look at secure treatment when it comes to drug issues. It sounds as if we may see steps towards that in the throne speech, and I am very happy to see them exploring that. That, to me, not a one-size-fits-all fix, I know that, but it, to me, is a step in the right direction. There's definitely going to be an influence, and this is what we talked with Paul Martin about, definitely going to be an influence between what's going on federally, nation-building projects, and what we will see in our throne speech. I mean, just yesterday we saw the announcement from Premier Moe, $6.3 million invested for nuclear research chairs. Nuclear research chairs as a result of basically the number of tech careers in the nuclear sector that will be happening over the next decade. Saskatchewan will be a leader from literally from the mining side of it and uranium right through and into including providing it as an energy source, as a power source in our province. So that will be in the throne speech. We saw the announcement yesterday with regard to surgery patients having more options. This is that extended contract with Surgical Centers Incorporated, or SCI. They have performed, I didn't realize the number was this big, nearly 200,000 surgeries in the last just over a decade since they've signed on the partnership with the Saskatchewan Health Authority. A lot of the work they do, orthopedic surgeries that, you know, maybe could be done as a day surgery, ophthalmology, pediatric dental, urology, those types of things. But they are expanding it now to include cases where there may be a required overnight stay, gynecology procedures, and that, of course, frees up operating rooms for the more serious things. So hopefully one has an implication on the other. That will be contained in the throne speech today. I'm sure wildfires somehow will be captured in there as part of it. Trade wars will be part of it. Relationships between, of course, Saskatchewan and Ottawa, a major part of course, what is going to be happening with these nation-building projects as well. So if you have something that you would like to see is on your wish list, I'd love to hear from you. We have officially opened up the lines for you. 1-877-332-8255. Text lines open, phone lines open. By the way, are you considering or have you already bought your ticket for Toronto for Game 1, World Series Game 1 this weekend? They sold out in 1 hour. Yesterday morning, I actually know a couple people that were attempting to get tickets. They were not successful in getting them, but lots has been talked about in terms of the price. Ticketmaster, well, right now they're the verified reseller. Of course, tickets are sold out, but people have bought them and are now reselling them. But the cheapest you're going to find is probably just under $2,000, and it goes up from there. And if you're waiting in queues for the other games to try and get tickets to those games, you're going to be paying a pretty penny as well. Lots of people going, though. Lots of people adding that to their, you know, this is the Christmas gift. This is one of our big trips for the year. This is where I'm willing to spend my money. Pretty exciting to be there for sure. Anyone that went to Game 7 the other night, they're not at all second-guessing their expenditure, I'm sure. Another topic. So there's a couple of good things that we could chat about during open lines. Let's go back. Let's go to the federal budget. So the federal budget coming down on November 4th. Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne says his upcoming fiscal plan aims to crowd in private investment as the federal government ramps up capital spending on major projects and cuts regulations. So he is vowing what he calls fiscal discipline in this first budget for the Carney Liberal government. And Mike, maybe my question to you is, what is your definition of fiscal discipline? Because to me, that has to include recognition that we have a debt that is growing to the point that, well, not my words, but Canada's interim parliamentary budget officer saying that the fiscal picture is stupefying and not sustainable. What is our national debt? 1.7, I think, 1.7 trillion. In fact, the number I saw, if you combine national debt and provincial debt, it's $2.3 trillion. Roughly $33,000 per person, per Canadian. It is not sustainable for sure. Now, the argument that you hear from the federal government is, well, we're not in a point where we can't afford to cut spending, especially on capital projects, because of the trade threat that we face. This is where many people jump in and say, what about just simply looking at regulation? If you change policy, federal policy, and if you change regulation, you will incentivize investors. And that, my friends, is fiscal discipline. So instead of pouring the concrete and pounding the nails, you change the regulation so that it attracts investment into the country. We heard lots about changes being made to cut the fat from government. Well, we heard lots of talk about it, but we certainly haven't seen any major changes there in terms of whether it's employees or just government spending in general. They are really pushing, though, to differentiate the capital budget from the operating budget. And they focus on the balancing of the operating budget as opposed to the capital budget. So they're doing that for a reason. We're also hearing, by the way, that budgets will, going forward, likely be in the fall and not the spring, as they have traditionally been as well. What is your sense of, what is your definition of fiscal discipline? 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts on that. The other topic that I think is one that we can't avoid talking about during open lines is this Canadian Revenue Agency story. Oh my gosh. So the Auditor General, Karen Hogan, and her office will, I mean, that's their job, is to audit government agency, whether it's everything from procurement to service delivery, they will do regular and random audits. Auditor General Karen Hogan's office placed calls to the CRA's contact centers over 4 months of this year, asking general questions. So they do a series of these. So it's like the secret shopper, right? Going into a store to see what kind of customer service they get. The report that came back from the auditor said that the call centers were best at addressing business tax or benefit questions and provided accurate responses 54% of the time. So just over 50% of the time, just over half of the time, they provided accurate responses to business tax or benefit questions, but they are much worse at answering questions about independent taxes. The Auditor General estimates the accuracy and completeness of responses to personal or individual tax questions was 17%. Not even one in five times were they able to give accurate, correct, complete information. This is head shaking to me, how this is possible that we have. And by the way, I'm going to take you back here a couple of weeks. This is something that we've been hearing about in the House of Commons. Not long after they resumed sitting in the House in Ottawa, there was a question about this that came forward. You might remember seeing this from a Liberal backbencher. Emma Harrison is a Liberal MP from Ontario. She actually stood up in the House of Commons. I'm going to play this for you. She stood up to question her own government on what they're doing to address shortfalls with the CRA. And what happened is, and you'll hear this in the short clip, is the Conservatives jumped to their feet and gave her a standing ovation. So much so that the Speaker of the House had to step in, say, sorry, I couldn't hear what you were trying to say. You're going to have to start from the start. She tries to start again, and again, the applause takes it over. So this is Emma Harrison, a liberal backbencher, raising questions to her own government about the CRA.
Have contacted me and my team to express their frustrations with the delays they experience when they try to contact the CRA. We know that the dedicated employees of the CRA provide invaluable services.
Sorry, I couldn't. From the top, if she doesn't mind. From the top, please. Maybe in a minute, but from the top for sure. So from the top.
Mr. Speaker, residents of my riding have contacted me and my team to express their frustrations with the delays they experience when contacting the CRA. Yeah!
You can hear the thunderous applause coming from mostly the conservatives. I mean, the liberals, I think, stood up and clapped for her as well to kind of probably save face a little bit. But asking the Secretary of State to stand up and, you know, what followed was a discussion about we recognize there's problems. We're doing our best to try and address it, those types of things. But 17% accuracy when calling the call center. So if you had a question about your taxes, and we're not talking a frequently asked question, because you can go to the website to get that. In fact, they're going to lean into AI to deliver that. They'll have chat bots on the website. So if you've got a question that isn't specific and personal, it's just a question that could be answered through frequently asked questions, you'll be able to go to their website, and through AI, they will be providing a lot of answers to those non-account specific questions. But if you have a specific question about your account and you go to the website, or sorry, you call the call center, you have over a 4 in 5 chance that they're going to give you inaccurate information or information that's not complete. That's a problem, clearly. I don't know if it's a staffing issue. I don't know if it's a training issue. In fact, there's a committee meeting happening in Ottawa today where managers from CRA are basically on the hot seat answering questions about that. Okay, we'll take our break. When we come back, Peter is on the line from Moose Jaw. He's going to be caller number one, but the text line is open, as is the phone line, 1-877-332-8255. It could be, what is your definition of fiscal discipline? We talked about that, the federal budget coming up. What do you hope to see in this afternoon's provincial throne speech? The CRA story, the Toronto Blue Jays, whatever you want to talk about, it's open lines here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome to Open Lines on this Wednesday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. And we've got a lot of topics. I threw out the Jays. Are you a person that's going? Or did you try to get tickets for the game? I know I got a text from Bonnie saying her son and daughter-in-law were able to get tickets for the game. So the two of them are going to the game on Friday. However, they did not tell me what they spent. LOL. No doubt they spent a little bit to get there, but nonetheless, if they were able to actually get on Ticketmaster to get the tickets, they're not buying resale tickets. That's where you're going to get the best prices. You're still probably paying well over $1,000, I'm guessing, per ticket. But the resale ones now, I saw a couple videos online. I mean, we're talking $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, $12,000, depending on where the seats are. So, yeah. If you are headed to or tried to get tickets to the game, I'd love to hear that experience. Give us a shout on Open Lines. One of the topics that we're talking about is this notion of fiscal discipline. Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne is foreshadowing, I would say very sparingly, foreshadowing the federal budget, which is going to be introduced on November the 4th. They haven't given really a ton of information about it. They're holding their cards fairly close. But he does vow fiscal discipline. Now, I have read a series of reports, all defining it differently. Some are saying fiscal discipline means you do not spend, period. Others talk about fiscal discipline as recognizing that you can make regulatory changes that cost you very little, but open up the door to investors to come in and spend money and drive our economy in our country. And then some say fiscal discipline is literally cutting staff, cutting government employees, cutting government overspending, cutting the money that you're spending on contract work. 1-877-332-8255. What is fiscal responsibility mean to you? Let's start with Peter in Moose Jaw. How are you, Peter?
Hi, Evan. I'm very good. Thank you.
What does this mean to you, fiscal discipline?
Yeah. You kind of know. I don't hate Mark Carney with the fiery passion that I hated Justin Trudeau. And that's because I know Carney has actually got some brains in his head. So he's actually a smart man, and you can tell that. So I don't actually hate him, but he's trying to balance a lot of things here, and he's going to run into trouble because there's whispers around Ottawa that I've heard that they're talking about almost $100 billion deficit or in that range of crazy talk. And so fiscal discipline to me is you have to understand when the government's borrowing that kind of money in an economy the size of Canada, what you do is that pie is only so big, right? There's only so much money that goes into debt servicing for the government, and then you will restrict corporate spending because they can't borrow any money because the government's borrowing all the money, and that's what happens. So then you start to shrink your economy. That's how the economy works, right? The pie is only so big.
Yep.
Money does not grow on trees, and the more you print, as Paul Martin eloquently said, the worse it gets because then you damage your dollar. A fiat currency begins to start to wane away, and as soon as the buying power becomes less, then you get less stuff for it, right? You can't buy as much stuff. So the Carney's got a real problem here because he wants to increase defense spending. He's sniffing around Europe about new subs and stuff like that. But those things are going to cost a lot of money, and he is going to have to. I can only say that during Justin Trudeau's tenure, he doubled the public service. So he's going to have to make some really hard cuts. And there are going to be so many people out there that want to get rid of him after he does this. It's going to be nasty. It'll be A2 Brute, Evan.
Yeah. Welcome back to Wednesday Morning Open Lines. Evan Bray, great to have you here. 1-877-332-8255 is both the text line and the phone line. So if you want to text in, feel free. We're getting a number of texts. We kind of have a couple of different streams going here, which is great. One, we're talking about the CRA because that report came out from the Auditor General, Karen Hogan's report, that the CRA is terrible when it comes to answering questions accurately and completely when individuals call in about their personal taxes. Their responses to questions about individual taxes are correct or complete 17% of the time. 83% of the time, they're wrong or incomplete. Oh, and by the way, another issue is how long you have to wait to get an answer, right? It's not just getting the wrong answer. You're waiting a long time to get it. They have a standard being having the calls answered within 15 minutes. Well, apparently they've met that standard 18% of the time. Most callers wait on average 31, some upwards of an hour and a half before the call gets answered. So clearly there's a problem. I mentioned CRA managers are on the hot seat at committee meetings this afternoon in Ottawa, answering questions as to A, what the problems are, and B, what they're doing to try and deal with it. I see a text here from Bill said, I have never got through on the phone in less than an hour. And when they do answer, often their English is poor. You have to repeat the information several times, and I never get the answer that I'm looking for or an accurate answer. Terrible service altogether. Now, the other topic that we are talking about, CRA is one. The other we're talking about is what is your definition of fiscal discipline? I mean, I keep talking about the debt and the deficit. I got a text here from Ron in Saskatoon, and Ron, I think you're right. I think you're right, because Ron says the average Canadian doesn't care about Canada's deficit until it actually affects them. And even then, you have to say really affects them. I mean, we can talk right now about how it's affecting you and I. Our debt, which is measured in the trillions, not billions, not millions, trillions, it is affecting us. It is absolutely having an impact. But until it's something that people will tangibly be able to point to and say, I'm being affected by this, Ron's point is people don't have their eyes open to that. They're more focused on themselves and what's impacting their life that they can tangibly see. Gas prices, food prices, those types of things. So, Ron, I think your text is bang on. There's not enough people that worry and concern themselves with it. Now, others will argue you've got to spend money to make money. And right now, we've got a government that is looking to try and grow our economy. So we're going to have a bit more short-term pain, long-term gain. But boy, that's mounting on a lot of pain that's already been there. I want to go back to the phone lines. Cheryl has been waiting patiently from Meadow Lake. Cheryl, I appreciate you calling in. I'm asking people what their definition of fiscal discipline is. What would yours be?
Well, to me, it's that any agency in the province who receives provincial funds should have a clearly stated goal, and they should have an annual report that all of us can see to know how they met their goals. And to give you an example of that, we have so many agencies in the province. If you look online, there are multiple agencies who claim that they are there to support families of preschool children. But my question is, to support them to do what? And when you try to find an annual report, you either can't find it, or the annual report has nothing whatsoever to do with supporting families. One of the agencies that I looked at, their annual report highlighted how many of their staff they were able to retain. That is, how many of their staff didn't quit during the year. I don't see how that supports families or children.
Right. Yeah, that's not a good measure, is it, Cheryl?
No. If most of these agencies are dealing with children who have challenges, and a better goal to me would be something like 90% of the children in our program will enter school with age-appropriate skills and ready to learn. Mm-hmm. That would be a better goal. And you could measure that, and you would know what is going on, and is this agency actually helping children?
Measurable outcomes. That's a unique concept, Cheryl. Thanks for bringing that up. By the way, I'm going to state this because of a text that I got on the text line. We are talking about fiscal discipline in light of the comments made this past week by Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne. So we're talking about the federal government. It doesn't mean it doesn't pertain to the provincial government. And I'm always happy to talk about that as well. JJ from Regina said, can I ask why provincial fiscal discipline is never on your topic sheet? It has been. We do it typically around budget time. We know the throne speech is happening today. Throne speech is probably a good indicator of what's going to be prioritized in the budget, but it won't be until spring we hear budget updates that will likely put dollar values in. And we know debt is an issue provincially as well. We haven't had a surplus in our budget. We've been running deficits, and that number that I said, combined number, is what, $2.3 trillion. combined national and provincial deaths. So it is an issue everywhere, and I'm happy to talk about. I mean, when we talk fiscal discipline, we can talk about it from whatever angle you would like. 1-877-332-8255. Sean in Weyburn says fiscal discipline, LOL. They need to get rid of regulations that are holding business back. They've increased the government workforce by 30%. They need to reduce the workforce by at least 30%. And then he puts, see the CRA story for more details. I mean, I don't know. Well, you know, so let's talk about this for a second, because maybe there is merit to that. Part of the CRA story is, I guarantee you, what you're going to hear from managers is, we need to hire more staff. We need to spend more time on training. Well, hiring more staff flies in the face of fiscal discipline for the federal government. And the Tax Filer Empowerment Canada Group, that's a national association that represents about a dozen of the country's leading tax preparation and tax software firms. They basically say, let us do the business. Why is the government the one trying to help citizens in Canada? Let the industry people do this work. Their quote is, this is a statement from Tax Filer Empowerment Canada, a government which is serious about reducing the size of the public service while improving services to Canadians should challenge our industry to do more rather than relying solely on an agency which has a hard time delivering on its core mandate. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's keep going here. Phone lines busy today. I'm going to go to Larry in Saskatoon next. You agree debt is an issue that needs to be dealt with, Larry?
It's a major issue. The federal government doubled the national debt. The burden is horrific. There will be consequences. We're feeling them now, but for generations to go. And we've had no accounting for that which happened during the pandemic, the mandates, the lockdowns. The entire economy was shut down. It's never happened before in the history of Canada. The supply chain disruption was horrendous. We've not recovered. How many thousands of businesses who create wealth were destroyed and haven't come back? And all this, they needed to do censor and violate principles of epidemiology, immunology, clinical practice, medical ethics, and censorship to frighten people to bow down to this. That was not 2020. We still haven't had any accounting for that.
I mean, the pandemic for sure has been... The fingers have been pointed at it as a reason for, and I think there are cases. I can picture some presentations that have been done, at least provincially, to say, okay, here from an accounting standpoint, here's where we've been set back by supply chain, as Larry pointed out, supply chain disruptions that happened during the pandemic, which had implication not only on businesses but on governments as well, was a big part of it for sure. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go next to Perry in Osler. Perry, when we talk fiscal responsibility or fiscal discipline, I know you and I have talked about this before. How do you see that? What's your definition of that?
Government taking their hands out of the pockets of Canadians. You know, they're just milking us dry. For example, as they found a way to run my prices of my fertilizer up, my farm diesel was just completely crazy. And then that translates down to everybody. And so they're addicted to the money, number one. So we got to cut that off. And then they'll have to be fiscally responsible after that. And then they can do things like, well, they'll say, well, then we'll have inflation problems and stuff. You change the way we borrow money. One third down on a house, one third down on a vehicle. Then the prices of the homes and the vehicles will come down. So then your one-third save-up isn't as great as you think it is. And then the interest rates will come down. And at the end of your life cycle, of when we hit 60, our working years and that are coming, you know, or closing in and that, is we'll be $400,000 better off, every Canadian. And then they don't have to turn outside the country for money for investors and that. They can turn to Canadians, and then we can we can grow wealth investing in our own country.
And I think if I jump in on the point you're making, because some of it obviously is hard to do, but there's essentially the message you're coming up with, Perry, is we need regulatory change. We need some policy change here that helps incentivize, whether it's private investment from a business standpoint or just the ability for you and I to live our lives. Cameron in Regina with a text that I think hits the nail on the head. Fiscal discipline for most Canadians, for you and I, means we keep up with our bills and we don't take on more debt than we can handle. Cameron goes on to say, if the Liberal Party managed their households like they manage our tax dollars, they'd be facing repossession and homelessness. 1-877-332-8255. Let's take our next break. When we come back, we'll finish up with our open lines. Still some texts I want to get to and a few calls still coming in. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. There's a lot of messages on the text line about the Canadian Revenue Agency, the CRA, of course. Les in Corning saying Revenue Canada terrible. He's got a story. His son had his 2022 income tax looked at, and they explained to him while they were doing it, they were so far behind they wouldn't have his 2025 income tax complete for a couple more years. Chris in Regina, the CRA has always been this way. This is not new news. A number of people on the text line. I saw one from Colleen here. So Colleen saying with the CRA and 17% accuracy, if you are successful in getting through to talk to someone on the phone, to think that this government wants the CRA now to do our taxes. The very office that collects our taxes obviously makes so many mistakes and gives inaccurate information. Are we going to let them do our taxes? And then sends a link to a petition going around. So this was the recent announcement by the federal government that they are basically pre-filling out tax forms for people in the lowest tax bracket. Many of those do not file their taxes every year. The reason the federal government is giving for doing this is by filing their taxes, they have a better, I guess, link to or access to benefits, services that might help improve their cost of living. So that's the reason the federal government is wanting to shift to pre-filling out or helping people with those early steps of getting their income tax filed if they fit into, you know, that lowest tax bracket, which are the ones who are often not taking the time to file their taxes. But it's got to, I mean, if you, I'm just looking at the petition online here. It says the Canada Revenue Agency has no business acting as both the tax filer and the tax collector. And they've got a few signatures on there now. Petitions, though, we know, typically don't do a lot. I want to grab this call too. Al's been waiting patiently from Regina. Al, thanks for calling in. When it comes to the CRA, you've had your struggles. You're not surprised to hear about this 17% accuracy, are you?
Not at all, Devin. I want to tell you something, Evan. I'm 80 years old. I'm the guy with the speed thing for Wascana Drive here. You know me.
Yeah, I remember you.
Okay, now listen to this. I filed probably 5 to 5.5 years ago CRA regarding very important things regarding my whole life regarding business. Especially the last 10 years. They had the file, a box full of information was sent from my accountant for a 10-year period. They have all the files, they have all the phone records. I've got phone records from South Tel. Everything, all the evidence is there. And guess what? I phoned probably in the last 5 years, maybe 30, 40 times to CRA. They never give you an answer. They say it's ongoing. We can't tell you what's going on. And the other day I phoned, guess what? You can't even get through. You can't get through. But I'm going to tell you some good news. There's things going to happen. You're going to know about them fairly soon, and you're going to get a surprise because I'm going a different route totally. Because this involves my long time history of working 55 years, and to be Anyways, you'll find out. You'll hear it on the news.
You're gonna
have a copy of it in your thing, and you can help me maybe with that, because you're involved in this too, because you're chief of police at the time.
Okay.
You'll see.
Okay, Al. Well, we're gonna have to stay in touch about that. Now you've piqued my interest for sure. Thank you to everyone who's called in and texted in today, whether it's CRA, fiscal discipline for the federal budget, throne speech happening this afternoon. We, again, will have Premier Scott Moe and NDP leader Carla Beck on tomorrow morning to discuss what we hear this afternoon in the speech. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, a pretty important day happening in the province tomorrow. We've got a guest helping us understand why next. You're listening to 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.